Hello, Francisco, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Cernis. Thank you very much for being today with us.
Thank you, Irene. It's thanks to you.
We start with one of the questions that pre-Socratic philosophers ask themselves about us, about the human beings. So, Francisco, who are you?
That's a good question for starting. I can say the typical things that my identity card says. So my name is Francisco Sánchez Galán. So I'm 51 years old. I was born in 69. It's an interesting year because of the man put the foot on the moon. Maybe it's because of that I love technique. I don't know. But so I'm Spanish. I was born in La Coruña, in Galicia. I studied in Spain also in the University of Vigo Mechanical Engineering. If you want, my professional parkour was mostly related to CERN. So just before finishing my studies, in fact, I was doing the end of career project, which is one year, and I saw just an advertisement saying that CERN was looking for technical students, and I applied. And I came to CERN just like that, by chance. It was the year 96, so I decided to come really within 1 month. So I sent the application in December, I remember, just 2 days before the end of the delay for sending the application. I got an answer from CERN mid-January, inviting me for an interview beginning of February. I came to the interview and I started in March. So it was really, really quick. And since that time, I have been mostly involved in CERN projects. Well, it's not only in CERN projects. I was working at CERN from 96 basically to 2003 with 1 year stop because of the military service. And since 2003 to 2014, I moved to ITER, a fusion project. It's a experimental fusion reactor that is going to be built in the south of France. And I worked there for 11 years until 2014, where I came back to CERN in a staff position. Since then, I'm working mainly involved to High Lumi, to the upgrade of LHC machine. I'm currently the World Package 8 leader. It's a part of the project which takes care of the interface between the machine and the experiments. So basically, there are a number of absorbers and shieldings that need to be upgraded. And I'm dealing with that with a good team of people.
And here we are with this project. So let's focus on the past, because, I have to admit that I've got an obsession with Galicia. So I would like to ask you, what do you miss the most from La Coruña?
From La Coruña, I miss everything, as everyone. I mean, I'm not the typical, to have morriña, it's very, very Galician, but I'm not really a guy that is always looking about how much he's missing things. And of course, I miss everything. I mean, I miss people mainly. I miss family, especially. I miss landscapes. I miss food. I miss the sea. I miss the beach. Everything, I would say. But saying that, when I go there, I miss a lot of things that we have here too.
Oh, for example.
from here, I miss the mountains. I miss the friends that I have here. I mean, after a while, it's not only where you are born, it's also where you live. So this depends on the people. But for me, I adapt really quickly to all new situations. And I got familiar really, really in a fast way. I'm missing really a lot of things of Galicia, but if I go back there, I will miss a lot of things from here too. In fact, just to tell you, I've been working, so for ITER, with the EPFL, so the Polytechnique Federal de Lausanne, for 11 years. And in the time, I also lived in Munich 1 year. But when I moved back to CERN, since then, I'm missing a lot also Lausanne. So I think it depends on the people. But for me, really, I'm somebody that really takes the positive things of everything. And more than just thinking about what you lose, I think about what I have.
Morriña can be everywhere.
Yes, yes. But yeah, it's true that this happens also in the projects. Eh? Instead of saying, I don't have this and just complain, you focus on what you have. And at the end, it's much better.
Now it's time for Imagine. So I'm going to dream big. For instance, I'm going to imagine myself writing a novel in a nice house in the Costa da Morte. And now I would like to know, what are the dreams of an engineer like you?
Dreams? You mean professional dreams or which kind of dreams?
General dreams. You can, now it's time for Imagine, so dream big.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really a kind of a dreamer in the sense that I've never had, I think, nor big dreams, nor even long-term plans. I always had a lot of problems even imagining myself. The typical question, you know, how do you know where you will be or where do you want to be in 5-6 years? Yeah, when I started studying mechanical engineering, I knew what I wanted to do in the next 5-6 years. I knew that I wanted to finish that. But basically, it's a short-term approach. I don't have really big dreams. So my dreams is really professionally, I'm involved in a very interesting challenge, which is the upgrade of Hailumi. So this is something that we will see the results in from 2027. I think it's a large enough window to project myself. So my big dreams, there are no big dreams. I think make life easier for everyone, just to try to contribute as I do to improve things. But I'm more a guy of doing smooth improvements or little things that really about thinking about, I want to change everything, I want to know.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, this is the most common answer. Like, most of you are saying this, and I'm surprised, but at the same time, I like it. Like, I don't know, you all agree in this, not dreaming big.
I don't know if we agree, but I mean, it's a feeling. I mean, it's little by little. If you want, it's a little bit because of the technique. Yeah. I think that probably we are also quite realistic, I would say, and maybe this imposes some limits.
Yes, maybe I have too much imagination, and that's why.
Yeah, this is respect to me. If you think my dreams respect to other things, yeah, I would like to see fusion working. I would like to see dark matter discovered. So this is dreams. But I'm just you know, the tiny piece on this mix. So yeah, it's not a big dream for me. It's really a big dream for a project.
Okay. So as you may know, I'm just a tourist of the science, and that's why I would like to know how people from science perceive, for instance, humanistic ideas such as the beauty. So I would like to know, what do you think of when you hear the word beauty?
So being at CERN, the typical physicist answer, you know what would
yes.
be. So maybe it has relationship, but for me, no, for me it has nothing to do. I'm not physicist. So no, for me, beauty, every time I think about beauty, it's in relationship with nature. Every time. When I imagine about something which is beautiful, it's always a landscape, it's a mountain, the sea, when you can see the sunset on the sea. This kind of thing, it's every time in relationship with nature. So for me, yeah, beauty, if you want, is the nature itself. That's the most deep beauty you can find.
I'm today with Ortega y Gasset, a timeless Spanish philosopher. And he thought that, I'm going to say it in Spanish first, el verdadero tesoro del hombre es el tesoro de sus errores. That in English, it would be something like, a man's true treasure is the treasure of his mistakes. So I would like to know, Francisco, if you agree with Ortega.
I would say yes. I think most of the technical people, I don't know if humanistic people think the same, but most of technical people, yes, we need failing. It's clear. We need failing for learning since we are childs. if somebody does not allow you to let things drop from your hands when you are trying to find the balance, how would you learn? It's the most natural way of learning. It's the most efficient way of learning, I would say. What is complicated is true is that with age and with activities, these fails can have consequences. And this is a little bit, if you want, the break that you have for learning. When you are a child, you touch everything. If it fails and it breaks, you don't care. You take another one. You don't think about consequences. Growing up, we think about consequences, sometimes because we know and sometimes just because people make us aware of consequences. And this, if you want, this natural thing, which is, failing, is something that we don't have the right. It's unfortunate because, evolution is based on that. It's a try and error process. So as engineers, especially in some domains, with safety and these kind of things, there are things that the pressure you have in certain projects is just because this natural way of working has to be absolutely avoided. So, I agree with Ortega. he was more clever than us.
For sure. So for not abandoning the Spanish part, if you could teach people from other nationalities a proverb from your homeland, which one would it be?
Poof. I would say, cada maestrillo tiene su librillo. So in English means that basically that everyone does the things in a personal way. So this is interesting for me because we try to do a lot of copy paste from behavior, even in the normal life. Even with kids, you have a first kid, you do in a way, and then you think it's going to work in the same way for the second kid. So everyone has a way of doing things, a way of learning, a way of asking, a way of answering. And I think it's very important to find the difference, because you cannot apply the same recipe for everyone. And not all the recipes work with you, at least not in the same way. Cada maestrillo tiene su librillo could be a good one.
And it's related with that proverb. If you could only recommend us a librillo, a book, which one would it be?
Only one.
Yes.
First, I would say that it's a pity. So it depends on. So first, it depends on the age of the people that I have to recommend the book, because of course the same book is not the same for different people, and not even for the same people at a different time. But one book that I always loved a lot, and it's easy, it's to read, is Juan Salvador Gaviota, so John Livingstone Seagull. It's short, but I think it has a lot of things that you can learn and you can use in life, because it talks about flying. But really not because you have a lot of dreams. It's just because you love learning, and you start learning and you realize that you are a little bit far away than you expected. And then you learn a little bit more. And I think it's a very good lesson. I think it's very applicable to most of people that work at CERN, this attitude, I would say. So that good one. Not for childs, of course. You have to go up a little bit, but it's a good book.
And if instead of a book, you have to choose a film or a TV series, which one would it be?
TV series, for me, has no doubt, is Cosmos, Carl Sagan. I mean, I think it's a wonderful way of showing you all the answers and all the questions that we have respect to the typical things that that you can think about since you are a child. So first time you just go to the mountains, or you just go outside and you look to the stars, you start asking things to yourself. And then one day it's very naive, but it's really, because of these naivetes, it's really deep. But these things that what you see on the sky is not what exists today, it's what existed. This is something that for me it's a wonderful mystery. It's always a wonderful mystery. You don't see what there is, you see what there was. So, wow.
So, just one last question before we change our roles. So, our previous trainee, Paula, she wanted you to tell us a bit about an experience or a person, anything that supposed you a personal growth, something that changed or shaped your life.
Okay, so anything that could made me a personal growth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, so... Well, I'm parent, so I have two kids. So this is a very easy. So this is a very easy answer because I think that everybody that has kids can say the same thing. So it's clear that a kid changed your life forever. I mean, suddenly you have a lot of new responsibilities for which you are not really prepared. You have to learn a lot. I mean. It's really something you have to learn a lot of things. You discover yourself being a kid again, but also you start to understand your parents. And this is something that I think it's really an important point in a personal grow up. At least, for me, it's clear that it had a lot of impact.
And now for ending, imagine that you are the interviewer and now you have the possibility to ask whatever you like to our next journey.
So I would like to ask him in the same way that when you look to the sky and you see what there was in the past, I would say if you could travel back on time and meet yourself X years ago, you can choose how many years ago, and if you would be able to advise him, what would be your advice to him or to her?
Wow.
I would say, and don't answer the typical easy thing, bet on this team because you will be billionaire or whatever.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you could advise to yourself in the past, maybe at some time in the past you were worried for something that it was a real problem on that time, and now you know that it was not so difficult, or on the other ways, you didn't pay attention too much to something that now you would say, try to pay more attention to this, thing. Yeah, that would be my question.
Okay, really good question. So, Francisco, that was the interview. I hope you like it and you enjoy it.
Yes, I enjoyed it. In fact, it was short at the end. So, yes. I enjoyed it. Really, I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you for making it so interesting.